we make our way through the spring and on into the summer, we are going to be making our way through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. And I would encourage you, and as much as you are so called, to follow along in that book. There are 16 chapters. I don't think we'll get through all 16 chapters as we make our way toward the summer. And I think we're only going to get sort of the highlights along the way. We're not going to cover each and every single chapter, but we want to spend time there in that book. Now, I'm going to see if you're paying attention. We won't read from 1 Corinthians on the nights that we have evening prayer. I will know if you're paying attention if someone comes to me on evening prayer night and said, hey, why didn't you read from 1 Corinthians? Because if we're not reading 1 Corinthians on the nights, we have just the nights that we have communion and making our way through that letter. I pray that it will be a rich time for us. This is a letter that Paul wrote to a church that he loved. It was a church that Paul had founded in this great, big metropolis, Corinth. Corinth was a vast trading community. It was a center of Roman paganism. You may have heard this before, but at the time, Corinth was so renowned for being not a particularly moral city that people would use the word Corinthianize as a verb to talk about doing something that's immoral, just because the city was so well known, it was renowned. Anyway, Paul had founded a church there that he loved, and these are misfits. These are just regular people. These are not the people in power. They were an eager people, but they were a misguided people. And Paul had gotten word that all sorts of things were going on in the church, and so he has written this letter to them. He's trying to minister to them, to pastor them from a distance, and deal with these issues sort of line by line. But if I were to kind of give a big picture of what's the major problem, the major problem with the church is a division. And everything just about that Paul addresses in this letter is something that all churches face because churches are full of people. You may have heard the saying, if you ever find the perfect Christian community, don't join it because you'll ruin everything. I mean, that's the truth, okay? That's just part of the reality. Division is possible even in the closest of relationships. Not long ago, Phil Everly of the Everly Brothers passed away. Apparently, I didn't know this. You know, the Everly Brothers, they were the masters of harmony. You know, they had some great hits. Bye Bye Love. I promised myself I was not going to sing these. All I Have to Do Is Dream. When Will I Be Loved? And Wake Up Little Susie. You know, classic songs. They really laid the foundation for bands like the Beatles, Simon and Garfunkel, and so on. I mean, they were it. They were in terms of harmony. But off of stage, these two brothers had a very contentious relationship, a non-harmonious relationship. In fact, in 1973, Don walked off the stage. Phil threw down his guitar and walked off the stage, leaving Don to say, to the audience, the Everly Brothers died 10 years ago. I mean, these brothers were just at each other. And they were just the first. There are many brothers in music who have fallen out, have not had a harmonious relationship. I used to listen to a band from the late 70s, early 80s called The Kinks, and there were two brothers in The Kinks who just could not stand each other. And even more recently, there's a band, Alex, you may know this band, Oasis. It's a modern band. Again, two brothers who had an incredibly contentious relationship, and eventually the band broke up because they just couldn't get along. My point is division, I mean, you know it, can happen in the closest of relationships. And of course, it can happen in the church because the church is made up of people. And so Paul has given us this wonderful book, this wonderful letter, to help us, to equip us, to live into our vocation, to be a community of peace. How, Paul, how, O Lord, do we set aside the divisions that threaten us? How do we live together as the people of God? How do we do life together? Paul begins this letter with a blessing. And this is one of those verses that I find myself, I often just sort of read past it. but it's very important. Paul says to this church that he loves, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul says that, he's not just giving some throwaway introductory blessing. He is praying for this community. Grace, peace, I pray for you. And my prayer is that that is a blessing that we can claim for ourselves as we walk into 2014 as a congregation, as we sit under this letter and receive Paul's advice. I pray that the Holy Spirit would stir up indeed the grace and peace of God in this wonderful, wonderful church. And as I prepare to just to say a little prayer, I would challenge you tonight. Are there relationships, either in this church or beyond, that need the grace and peace of God, that need the mediation of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit? If there are, let's bring those relationships to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Apostle Paul, and we ask for your blessing on us as a congregation as we make our way through this letter, through 1 Corinthians. But even deeper than that, we come to you, to your throne, and ask for your grace and peace. And I pray, Lord Christ, that if there be any division, if any of us have relationships that are broken, we ask for your mediation, that you would open a way for forgiveness, for reconciliation. But I want to thank you as well, Lord Jesus. You have indeed blessed this community with incredible peace, even as we have weathered many things. And for that and for all things, we thank you and praise you, for we ask these things in your name.